Investors. So what do you immediately think of if I'm saying I'm going to talk to you about investing and investors? Money, that's what you would think, wouldn't you? But if you knew me, you'd say, well, I don't know if I want Brother Rick's investment advice. But I could say, you know, with Apple and Amazon, you're probably all right. But no, that's not what we're talking about. The thing we're talking about indeed is Jesus said at the age of 12, know ye not that I must be about my Father's business. Business. So what business was he about? And the thing is, it was his Father's work. And I was thinking when Brother Duane, all these things will be added unto you, that this would go along with it from a little different perspective. Here's a few basics on being an investor. And I am. So one of the things about being an investor is the goal or purpose is invested. And if it's a financial, we would refer to that as is not all investments are monetary. And so likewise, not we are primarily interested in the concept and practice invested in the Father's business about investing in people. Particularly, and that is the bride of Christ, because that's the work of this complete. And that was Jesus' Father's business, hence our business, for the completion of the bride. Now there's another caveat to this, though. We have opportunity, but especially the household of faith. But we even sometimes, the bride of Christ, but still we're investing in people. So keep these thoughts struck. Test and retest those who will be the bride of Christ. The body, those who stand on Mount Zion, the 144,000. These are who we're investing to find, these people. And since we're living in the end of the gospel age, we're living during the time of our returned Lord's the chief reaper, Revelation 14, 14 and 15. And we are to be the reapers he sends forth as his messengers, Matthew 13, 39 to 41. And I connect that, as you do, to John 4, 34 months yet to go. They're white. I send you forth as reapers. Pray the Lord of harvest send in people. Then that means we're investing in people. And the particular people's point on investors. Now, you're familiar, Matthew 25, verses 4. The man who represented Jesus was to travel to a far-off country, and he had servants. And before he left, he gave his servants different number of talents, 5 to 1. And they were to do what with the talents? And the Lord Jesus used the through us, and that is that when he came back, that servant gave him the one talent back. And the Lord said, what's this? I'm paraphrasing, of course. And he said, well, I know that you were kind of a tough, you gave me. I just held on to it and I buried it in the earth. So here you are. And Jesus says, you should have given it to the lenders. In other words, a certain amount of increase. So when I came back, I would have profited from talking about money. But he's talking to us about being wise, good, faithful investors. We learned that in that parable that if you're a servant of Jesus, you have a responsibility. And instead of taking that in a kind of a dreadful way, we should take it as a thought of a privileged way. That Jesus thought that you and I were worth investing in on his part, that he gave us, as it were, talents, according to the parable, that he expected us to use on his behalf. Notice that. He giving us opportunities and talents that we're to invest on his behalf. So, as the parable points out, when he would return, and then he would square up, as it were, with his servants, then they would give a report. And you know what? That the servants that had the most gain or profit with what the master had given them, you know how happy they were when they got to say, oh, look, Lord, I got you this. Or this one said, oh, I got you that. So, brethren, it's just an encouragement to you and I that our investing, whatever we invest on behalf of the Lord, there will come a time when we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And wouldn't we be happier if we could give a report that say, by thy grace, O Lord, this is the benefit. But you know what? You know how it's probably going to be. As the Lord's given us grace, this is what you gained for me, instead of us saying, this is what I gained for you. You know what I mean? He's watching over all the various investments you and I have made, great and small, a street picture. You're working with the wolf and the loom on the tapestry. You're only seeing it on the backside. But so it's similar now. So you and I, by faith, are expecting we might hear that, well done, good and faithful servant, come of these talents. Now, Brother Russell, as you recall, has gone through these talents in things like education, money, influence, good health, time. You know, money wasn't the first thing, it wasn't the last thing, but most importantly, it wasn't the only thing. Well, yeah, that's true, and that's great. But someone has an art talent focused on an education talent, a money talent, an influence. You've got good health, use it. We don't know when we're going to lose it. It is partly how we conduct ourselves, how we think things through. Use that to the advantage of who they're interacting with. That's some tact. And it's like certain things in life. Sometimes we have it and sometimes we don't. So if it's your talent, great. Use it in the Lord's service. If you don't have it, look for one of your other talents. It's okay. Time is a biggie. Thank you. And I'm going to build on that, Brother Lem, because time, here's some availability is a talent. Making yourself available. Tie up or expend all our time in earthly affairs, we wouldn't be available for spiritual opportunities to invest. Rightly ours, in order to create time to invest by making ourselves available and organize some brethren to go tracting. Let me use that one. The first thing you do is, okay, Saturday we're going to have a track meet. Who's available Saturday? Well, everyone starts, and I'm not saying that's wrong, but I'm going to say you're going to get down to the ones that say, well, so they have that talent of making themselves available related to time. Investors need to be self-starters. You know how often, and I look at decisions, it's going to be Ruth and I making any decisions for anything we have. If it's going to be health care, life insurance, no working, no pay, so it's all with you, right? So you're used to making all these kind of decisions. I do for the Lord. I can't do what so-and-so's doing. I can't do what so-and-so's doing. They have this trial of comparison. They seem very large. Might not seem like much. But they might be that very one to say to another, I'm going to take a sister for an example. A sister could say to another sister, how would you like to go tracking with me next Saturday? We'll go for 2 hours. Then the sister she asked, if she had the talent of availability, starter was able to incorporate this other one with the talent of availability, at least enough health to be able to walk down the street and took the time to do it. But the Lord sees that as talents of investing. Now that leads into another talent, and that is willing to be a team player all the time. And you just don't engage self-starters, might also be encouraged to share in the investment opportunity. These individual investors, they pull their investment together into that mutual.
You are working with the problem that's set aside. Well, Brother, when we're having this activity, you work together to see how they can get accomplished, what goal, so you are able to pull your funds to hopefully achieve some bigger efforts or more expensive efforts. And sometimes in the engagement arrangement, you find out talents that individuals have that you
wouldn't have known otherwise, that they're willing to engage. And sometimes over the years, those talents can change. Like our time talent, that can change over the years. Or our health talent, that can change over the years. Now that, I'm going to back down to another point. We also have to have the talent of being able to work relatively alone. Got to have that one too. That is a beautiful investment tool. Willing to work alone in the Lord's service. Because some people are more outgoing, gregarious, they work better with a group, they feel more inspired, but then there's others who, a little more introverted, they feel more comfortable when they're working by themselves. And fine. Do that. Invest yourselves that way too. Find your talent and use it. But it's always best, we've all found this out, to be a rounded Christian to see if we can employ these talents both ways, individually and in the group arrangement. Particularly thinking of the ecclesia, because we find that in the scriptures, don't we? So that's why we advocate it. Now, an investor's mindset, let's talk about that. Investors expect to experience both losses and gains. It's rarely all gain. If you ever meet an investor, a serious investor, who over the years, every time you talk to them, it's all gain. Well, they aren't telling you about their losses, and it doesn't give you a whole lot of confidence. There's always some losses in investment if you're investing in anything that just doesn't have a guaranteed rate of return. And the guaranteed rate of return, what does that always do for you? Gives you less return because it's guaranteed. So what gives you more return? Riskier investments. Investments, like you hear on the radio, if you don't read it yourself, that prospectus that says, you know, past returns are not indicative of future returns. No, they're saying, just because we did it good in the past doesn't mean we can guarantee you for the future. However, if you're willing, based on what you're reading, to think we got a pretty good chance, we're going to give you 5% return instead of the 2% that certificate of deposit the bank's going to give you. So you want to try for 3 extra percent? Well, there's a little bit of risk. All right. So you all are familiar with these things. You've lived long enough. You've heard about it if you haven't done it yourself in particular. But let's take that mindset to the spirit realm. When you're investing in the harvest work, when you're investing in people that find that try to complete the bride of Christ, are you willing to be a risk taker? Are you willing to invest and realize that sometimes that person isn't going to come into the truth? That person isn't going to accept the truth. That person believes the truth but doesn't want to consecrate. Are you still willing to have invested in them but it didn't achieve the goal you were hoping to realize? Or is that going to discourage you and say, oh, look, I do all this investing and I don't get anyone back. You know, I invested time and money and I don't get any results. So are we going to just give up talent in the earth? So, well, of course not. What it is to experience losses and gains. Another mindset of an investor is to have investing. In a financial matters, you can have compounding interest. You can have dividends that are reinvested. You can have an increased value of certain investment vehicles over time. And in fact, you can experience a penalty for an early withdrawal of certain CDs and various things. So time in financial investing plays an important role. And you have to be patient in order to realize the fullness of the gain. So too spiritually. If we're investing in people, we have to be patient. There can be times where we can invest years of time in follow-up studies and communicating with individuals without ever knowing whether or not they are ever going to consecrate and be part of this bride of Christ that we're investing to try to help complete. But nonetheless, we have to be patient with that. Whatever encouragements the Lord's give us, take those as positives that there's something at value that's working here. Now, investing involves a certain amount of risk. We just talked about that. Another usually yields a greater return and a larger profit. That's usually the thinking. Familiar with that with financial terms. So they, you know, your financial advisor, if you talk to one, that's one of the things they say is, what's your risk tolerance? In other words, if you lay awake at night because you're worried about your investments because you watch the stock market go up and down every day, so we'll find some other vehicles of investment that make you more peace. But if you can handle a certain more risk, or at least you can handle a certain amount of risk on part of your investment, best in some things that a little riskier, but you'll get a much better gain, which will offer a lower return. And you'll have a balanced portfolio. You'll be diversified in a way. So you and I need to reevaluate. Are we stepping out on faith? Do we always just need a concrete, assured return individually or as a group or as an ecclesia where you invested a lot of money in advertising, got a good-sized hall, we made all the arrangements speaking from the platform, whatever it may be, and we invested $10,000. People really enjoyed what they saw. So do we feel that $10,000, where we had 3 potential come out? Now, what come away? You and I were investing. We're interested in the Father's business. That was awful expensive for the 3 that came out. Let's reevaluate. But don't come away saying, oh, that's not worth it. The harvest work must bury that talent in the earth. But brethren, this is the mindset of investors in our spiritual investing. So we want to be aware of that. Successful investing requires research, reflection, an overall plan, and where to invest and how much. You know, it would all be Esther in the yellow pages, which is funny I say that on the internet, okay? And you said, call him up and say, I've got, you know, I got my life savings. Can you make me some money with that? Oh, yes, we can. Fine. Who do I make the check out to? And you mail it off. And lo and behold, well, no one here thinks that's the way to go about it. And spiritually investing, it's the same kind of way. We have to think about how we're to the greatest profit for our master in trying to co-laborers with God, laboring with our chief reaper to complete that bride. What's our overall investments? And I tell you that I think most of us here, I think we do have a certain strategy, whether you've thought of it that way or not. But I think you have a strategy of the harvest work that your ecclesia, our ecclesias are engaged in, that you're engaged in. I think we each have our own way, whether it's just putting a tract in the bills that you pay that go in the envelope, or whether it's the tracts you leave at the doors of people engaged in. There's a wide variety of ways to be involved. But nonetheless, I have these different family members, near and far, have on some level about the truth. You know, some of our best investors, neighbors, schoolmates, whatever it may be, but kind of reflect. Now, if I view the, let's look at an example of Jesus as an investor. In Luke 14, verses 25 to 35, you're going to remember this. Jesus turned about cross-bearing. It tells him you've got to love everyone else less than yourself, even your own self. You've got to love me supreme in that way. The Heavenly Father. And then he used two investment principles. There was the one who was going to go off to war. And then he used the builder. You're not going to start building a tower unless you're sure in the materials to build the tower. So he's saying, as an investor into a war or an investor into building, to give our all for the rest of our life to be his disciple and love him supreme over even our own selves. So that was his lesson about discipleship. Now, I'm connecting it to the, as it were, he was harvesting the Jewish, at the end of the Jewish age. We're harvesting the end of the gospel age. But he turned to the multitude that he had been doing what? Healing their sick, feeding them fish, feeding them the loaves. They'd been traveling with him for some time. He'd been giving them these blessings. And all of a sudden, he tells them this. If you want to be my disciple, this is what it's going to take. So how many do you think followed him after that? Well, only 500 believed on him when the time he ended his earthly ministry. Investing in these people at the cost of himself. That healing cost him personally. And yet he invested in that group, the multitudes, and he knew that he was only going to really draw out a few who would really want to be his disciples. But he knew that was the Father's plan. He quantity. And brethren, that's what the church has got mixed up. They go for quantity rather than the quality. So how do you do that? You down consecration to church membership. Church membership, well, their church membership. And then you can invest in their church. But they water it down. They want to keep the multitudes. Jesus elevated it for his sake, and he only got a few. But nonetheless, do we think Jesus was discouraged about that? Nope. How do we view it? Well, that's the thing. That's... if you and I ever get this energy, his influence. Expended himself on that large multitude that followed him. And I quite often, the thousands that the brethren do, investing in fare booths, the booklets, the tracts, the advertisements, television advertisements in there still going on, social media efforts, public meetings, follow-up meetings, all these, with the hope that some few will want to be the Lord's disciples. There's many of us, I think everyone in here is investing at some level, and as someone they can say, oh, the Lord blessed my effort and brought so-and-so into the truth. Not everyone of you, I'm privileged to know, have been wonderful investors. Really sacrificed. And a good thing. Because the point is, we don't know who is of the little flock. But one day, won't it be beautiful, if we're found faithful, to look back at some all around the world and who has responded in some way, directly or indirectly. Maybe it's way on down, far, far, far removed. Someone told someone to pass the book along or something. But wouldn't it be fun? Won't it be fun? I think it will. I think it'll be very exciting in those days. Now I want to talk about the prophet a little bit. I've been talking about the prophet as the results of trying to be a participant in finding the bride of Christ, which is the work of the age. But guess what? You know the answer to this. There's another prophet already. You and I profit in ourselves every time we're sacrificed on part of the Lord's service. You and I are profiting as a new creature. Sometimes the old man might say, really? You're going to spend that much? And the new man says, are you kidding me? We got it all from God anyway. I wouldn't have anything without him. So, yeah. So the old man, be at peace. So servants who worked all day and complained at the end when the 11th hour workers came in and got paid, they said they had the privilege of serving the master in the heat, to have that privilege. You know that old expression that goes around now? That's the attitudes of investors in the Lord's work. It's a profit to be in his. You and I are experiencing a return inwardly. Overly conservative will probably not realize a greater return, either in new interested ones or in themselves, concerning the new creation, the Christ. Let us be risk takers. Because even as a risk, up here, they'll be good. So there's always yes and amen. To seem to have been strangers. Now here's an angle of investing that's kind of in. He witnessed to his own family members. It tells us in scriptures not many believed. And he was happy enough to invest in the group and sent his disciples out to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The nation rejected him and the truth message until after Pentecost, and the majority still work activities as Christian ambassadors. We're usually investing in strangers. As an investor, to refocus on the fact that of that 100 we know for found faithful. Some will be strangers to us because they live before us or in different parts of the world and so on, and yet I did in this sense, but we don't know who's who until afterwards. So we hopefully that they prove faithful and we'll spend eternity together where we will on the veil. And in fact, Brother Russell, you'll remember this, found the more effort it takes to find those last few. You know, he didn't say as the harvest winds down, we can stop whatever interest we might be privileged to develop. He expended himself completely on strangers. Well, of Peter and John during their harvest time of the Jewish age. When we talk about Peter and John, after Pentecost, they were witnessing locally to them, more or less. We know they're from in the north of Galilee, but down in the temple area in Israel, they were witnessing in the temple area, and they got physically, don't preach anymore, Jesus. And they went out and they did it. Suffering abuse, but still happy that they were investing in the Lord's work. He reaches down to Peter and says, Peter, I want you to go and invest in this Gentile family, Cornelius. And Peter says, I don't invest in people like that. And the Lord says, oh, yeah. But can you imagine how Peter must have felt, that humble fisherman going into a Roman centurion, humbly willing to listen to him and be immersed? The whole family, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. But Peter had to be willing to go outside his comfort zone, as we say, to in not only strangers, but intimidating strangers. You and I can find experiences like that. Sometimes we might be intimidated to witness to certain people and for different reasons, and yet the Lord says, go and do. Sometimes we have our investment, harvest investments might take us to far parts of the world, into cultures that we just really don't relate to. So we're to weigh these things all out as far as our investments. So Paul. Now he was going to be our long distance investor. Time can certainly fill in what we'd ever say about him, but I want to focus on one little part, and that is that Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians about him being depressed. He was a little weary in witnessing. He was a little weary in investing. So how did the Lord encourage him? He tells us, Paul tells us. He writes that co-investors came, Silas, Timothy, and they encouraged him. And he went back out investing with them. So sometimes, brethren, like that like a wonderful example about how some of the greatest co-investors are those who are behind the scenes, encouraging those who are more out front. But you know what? That's that team effort as a group investment. In modern times, Brother Russell, the Harvest Messenger, he invested his all, his entire fortune, a stellar career in the clothing chain stores, his reputation, his health, and all. Great example of an investor. So, brethren, with that, we just want to close with this thought, and that is that as investors of the highest quality investment goal, let us find ways that you and I can invest more and more. For we realize the dual profit, the completion of the bride for the world of mankind to benefit, and the inevitable benefit in our own character development of Christ.